Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. It's E4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4 2017, the first official episode, and we're inundated with trying to figure out how to do this stuff right now. So really quickly, I'm Tommy, and that's Jamie sitting next to me. And
you're
hanging out on Twitch right now. You see us, which is super bizarre, but we know our boys Logan and Duff are here, and so hey, thanks guys for hanging out with us on Twitch.
Yeah!
That's super cool, and so we're trying a new thing. So if you want to participate with us, because if you're listening to this right now, it's a podcast, we may or may not be doing a live show right now. You can go ahead and go check. But you can go by the website, GamingUncensored.com, in the E4 tab up there at the top. We'll tell you when we're doing live shows. It also has a link to the Twitch channel, which is just Gaming Uncensored, and so go check it out. So yeah, come hang out with us for other shows if you didn't catch this one live, and for our guys that are here live hanging out with us for the show. That's awesome, and we love you, and we know the audio kind of sucks, and we're going to work on it, and hopefully it'll get better soon.
I love the fact, like I said, I love the fact that people are randomly texting my phone.
Yeah.
Like that's what's been going on for, like, the last 20 minutes, and I haven't been able to read the text because we've been working on tech stuff, but I have random texts on my phone from people who actually listen and contribute to the show, which is really funny. Can I chase a rabbit for just a second?
Sure.
Because that's what we do.
Rabbit chasing is fun.
So I have to give you props, sir, because we have a new Twitter, and we have this command center in my room.
Yeah. We'll have to take a picture and post it to the new Twitter.
Yes.
By the way, the new Twitter is @PodcastGU, so go follow us on Twitter, @PodcastGU.
Right, @PodcastGU, lots of cool stuff there. Tommy's been working his butt off trying to make that cool. He's been locked out of Twitter twice,
right?
Which I don't understand, like literally twice.
Yeah, so for anybody that happened to be following our live tweet yesterday, I don't know that anybody was, but if you were and you noticed like halfway through the EA conference, we just stopped. That's because Twitter blocked us. Twitter thought we were spam.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of work to convince Twitter that we weren't spam.
Which I don't blame them for thinking that we're spam because, you know, you come up on us and it's like, what the crap is
right?
this?
That's fair.
Yeah.
But after convincing them we're not spam, which took about a day, in the middle of live tweeting Microsoft, they decided we were spam again and pumped us again.
Right.
But luckily, right. That one resolved itself much quicker. And so I don't know how I tweet that makes Twitter think I'm a bot, but Twitter thinks I'm a bot. So that's cool.
Well, I will admit that you type really fast.
I do. I type fast and I use punctuation. I think that maybe was throwing it off is the fact that I'm one of those people that like uses punctuation and grammar when I text. Like, right. I don't do much text lingo. Like,
I know it probably really makes upset.
It doesn't, because everybody else other than the sexy sidekick that I text with texts me, you know, like people normally text. I'm weird. I'm the one that's weird, and I realize that.
Let me just make this. I'm sorry. I almost knocked your phone off.
Nope, you're good.
But let me just be clear. You're not weird, because I feel the same way. It's just that my hands don't work, and I'm trying to be quick and stuff. And so I skip stuff on text and on Twitter and so on and so forth.
That's fair.
So, yeah, there's that. So I completely understand. And, you know, we just want stuff to be good.
Yeah.
Like, we've been working for, like, the last hour and a half to try and make this whole video streaming thing look halfway professional.
Yeah.
And
with the Marvel posters in the background.
Yeah!
I like that.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jamie's bedroom.
Yes.
If you catch any of the video stuff, this is what Jamie's bedroom is
and
like.
And I will tell you right now, we're gonna have a lot of randomness because we're about an hour away from a family showing up and my 13-year-old niece Avery being here. And I've talked about Avery before. Avery loves video games. So when she comes in and sees all this.
The command center.
Yes. we may have a third host on the show. because I think she's going to be all about E3.
That's fair. As well she should be.
Yes.
Because E3 is awesome. So,
yes.
So all that being said, we are experimenting with a lot of new things, and it's going to be messy and weird for a while, and that's okay, because it's going to be fun and stuff too. And so even during these live shows on Twitch, we'll probably be throwing some video up on the screen. And so,
right.
But pay as much or as little attention to that as you want. We don't care, just to give some context. But we are a podcast, and so this is primarily an audio-only audience, and we realize that. And so we will be making sure we don't get too carried away on the video side of things.
We're trying to be cool because, see, okay, let's just mention that it's all Duff's fault.
That's
okay.
Fair.
This is Duff's problem. This is Duff's fault because we started a Patreon this time last year, and we started asking people to give us money, and lo and behold, they did.
Which was crazy.
And it's nuts. And then Duff gave us some VR gear, which is somewhere.
Yeah,
it's over there, so we don't know where it's somewhere, but Duff gave us some VR gear. And so now we really feel like we got to, like, step our game up and do some stuff because people giving us money and VR gear and games and stuff. And so we really feel like we need to do something special this year for Patreon people and for those that have supported us for 12 freaking years. And so that's what all of this is.
Yes.
And it's all really Duff's fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blame Duff.
Yeah.
All this, blame Duff.
Yeah.
Who we think is awesome.
Yeah.
But blame him.
Absolutely.
So, all that being said, this is the Microsoft episode. Microsoft was the first of the big three to do their press conference this year, and so we are going to cover all things Microsoft in this episode, which will be interesting, because
yeah.
Microsoft was an interesting conference, good and bad, and all kinds of in-between. And
I might have another word for it.
So let's start with that. What are your general thoughts on the Microsoft press conference? We'll go through details here in a little bit, but just kind of general overall takeaways from the press conference.
Bizarre. I mean, like, really, really weird.
I like it.
And it happened yesterday at EA. We'll talk about that later. But we just had video move over the screen. I'm assuming they can see that. And so we're sitting watching the Microsoft conference, and they start by talking about the new console, which is cool. We expected that. Hey, we got a new console, new tech, awesome. And then it just sort of went a completely weird direction.
Yeah.
So I want your two cents, because we're sitting there watching it together, and I think we had the same kind of, like, what?
Yeah, like, this is what it felt like. At the beginning, they show us Project Scorpio, and we have a name for Project Scorpio now, which is the Xbox One X. Xbox One X, Xbox One X. It's a weird name, right?
Right.
Like, that's a confusing name. Thank you, Microsoft. I saw somebody that on Twitter say, the first thing I thought was Xbox Onyx. Like, my brain just right. put those words together. And that's better than Xbox One X. It's just a weird name. So,
yeah.
Whatever. Xbox One X is officially what it's called. We have a release date for it. So, just jumping to the end of the press conference, because they announced it, showed all the specs and stuff. It's a powerhouse. It's awesome.
Right.
Phenomenal specs.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the conference, they told us a release date, which is November 7th. Cool. That's coming up. We knew that from last year. That
right.
was going to be holiday season this year. So, done. And then they told us the price point. The price point for the thing is $499, $500 for
now,
the Xbox One X.
$500 for the Xbox One X. And I thought you and I are reasonably logical people most of the time. I say reasonably logical because out of the two of us, I'm the least logical. But you know, it's kind of a symbiotic thing. You know, like you bring most of the logic, I bring some of the nut job. That's kind of the way it works.
That's our vibe.
So we're reasonably logical people, and we saw that price point, and I automatically went, ew.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good. $500?
$500 for a console that's already on the market. An upgraded version of that console, but a console that's already on the market.
Right.
And so, like, if they would come out at $399, I would have been like, oh, that's probably too much for me to justify.
Okay.
It. But $499, like, not a question. Just out of the realm of possibilities for me.
But see, here's why. If they had shown us lots of games and lots of reasons why we have to have an Xbox One X, and then said, hey, it's $500, I would have been like, hey, okay, yeah, all right, this is awesome. Halo, Gears of War, all that looks awesome. That didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, the way I summarized it was, we saw the awesome hardware, and then they showed us a whole bunch of games that looked like they could totally be on the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Not a dig at the Nintendo Switch. Awesome console. Zelda looks amazing on it. You could put really good-looking games on there. But the Xbox One X is obviously a much more powerhouse machine
right.
than the Nintendo Switch that is in a tablet. That is, you know, this big. It is
like,
tiny.
We have it right here.
Yeah, it's tiny.
It's very small.
It's a tablet console. If you're putting out a powerhouse console, show us games that I don't think you could, and some of them, to be fair, there's a few that were in there that was like, oh yeah, that's making it work. The one game, so let's jump into some games because this is kind of flow of things. And
right.
So the first game that they show on it, it's the game for Microsoft, and Sony has this exact same game, except they have a different franchise for it, that they show off anytime they want to show off sexy visuals and tech. And it's always car games. For
right.
Microsoft, it's Forza, and so they showed us Forza, which is sexy. It looks good. Those
right.
cars look awesome. It's always really pretty. But I don't care that much about Forza.
No,
I don't think many people do.
Well, you looked up the numbers.
Yeah,
okay?
I looked up the numbers. How many copies of Forza? So this is Forza 7 is going to be the next one. I looked up how many copies of Forza 6 had been sold, and it's just under 2 million copies worldwide, which isn't nothing. That's respectable.
Right.
That's a good bit of sales for a game.
But give some comparison. You got your phone right there. Can we pull up the numbers for Madden?
Right. Madden or Grand Theft Auto or Halo or, you know, like those games sell a lot.
Right.
Forza is a niche audience.
And
Gran Turismo is the same thing on Sony's side. And so Sony does this exact same thing. In fact, there's a very good chance we'll see the exact same thing in the Sony press conference. Those are niche games. Like, I like racing games, but I don't really dig Gran Turismo and Forza that are the realistic racing sims.
Right.
Like, I'm not that good at them. They're hard.
Yeah.
Like, I like Need for Speed. That's fun. You crash on purpose. Forza penalizes you if you wreck. What? That's dumb. Like, if I'm playing a video game in a car, like, I want to be able to run it into things.
Right.
Like, I get into, like, Forza or Gran Turismo for, like, 20 minutes, and I'm like, I'm really bad at this, and move on.
I got to be honest, and we got to mention this because Duff is in the audience. These games are going to be a lot cooler for us when we're sitting in a really comfortable chair, which we also have in this room, which is out of the camera shot. But these games will be a lot more fun for us when we're sitting in a really comfortable chair wearing some glasses on our faces that put us in the cockpit of the car.
Sure.
That's when I'm really going to be into it, when I'm actually driving the car. I know you feel the same way. Right now, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it looks really nice. I'm glad it's a really cool racing game. I'm glad, you know, they're trying to find the next Formula One driver or whatever.
Right.
But it really doesn't matter to me beyond that.
Yeah. Agreed. It's a fun way to show tech, but it's a little bit old at this point. It's just, that's what they always do. And so why not show us a Halo teaser or something, which there's a little Master Chief that they put into the little montage, but no Halo otherwise in the whole thing. Or Gears of War, or a Microsoft franchise that's a little bit more like what you associate with the Xbox.
Well, they mentioned Halo Wars 2, but I'm like, what? What?
Yeah,
that's,
it barely counts.
That's what I don't understand, because if I go to the Microsoft store right now, you want to know the only Halo game I can buy on Windows right now is Halo Wars 2?
Yeah.
I don't get that. I don't like, somebody explain that to me.
Yeah.
You have one of the biggest franchises ever to exist, and you got one game on your online store for Windows? Seriously?
Yeah.
And especially after last year, where we talked about all this crossplay and all this stuff and how cool it was going to be, and I was so excited. I mean, I bought a freaking 1080 because I was right. So excited. And you're going to give me Halo Wars 2?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's fair. And that's what a lot of the Microsoft press conference felt like, is it's like, this is the game that you have to show off? That just, like, there are people that are legit excited about a lot of the games that they showed off, which is cool, but a lot of them were really niche. Dragon Ball Z. There's a new Dragon Ball Z game.
Right.
I loved Dragon Ball Z when I was in high school. That was a long time ago. I know nothing about Dragon Ball Z at this point. Goku is a character. That's about as far as I get in Kamehameha. Like, that's right. Like, that's it. That's my...
I know less than that. Okay.
Like, that's where I'm at with Dragon. So, like, there's a Dragon Ball Z fighting game that they showed off. And cool, but... Man, that just doesn't seem like mass appeal. Or it's just not us. Like, maybe we're aging out of it a little bit, and, like, people that are 5 or 10 years younger than us thought it was awesome.
And this is what I wonder about, because there were a lot of people in the press conference that were there, and this is what they went for, and they chose some stuff, and everybody go, woo! And we're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like, it's not that cool.
Yeah.
Like, let me just give you a little bit of a thought here. We have this powerhouse of a system. We've been hearing 6 teraflops and blah 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 forever, right? So if you're gonna give me that, and by the way, they were giving the specs, and it is darn impressive.
Yeah.
Like,
I got
nothing in my house that comes close. I got a brand new machine here with a 1080 in it that might rival it.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, that's how impressive it is. So, why the crap am I not looking at a David Cage game?
Yeah.
Or insert cool game here.
Right.
David
Cage, because he's with Sony. But point made.
Well,
sell us on something.
Like, give me, like, heavy rain that's, like, mind-blowing and sweat on the face and the, like...
Yeah. That tech demo was missing. Maybe that's the biggest takeaway, is we didn't get a heavy rain tech demo. The very last game they showed was Anthem, and we'll talk about that.
Right.
That's the only thing that was like, oh,
this
that's
is
really
what it's
powerful.
For.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the very last thing they showed after they dropped the bomb that it's $500. You're like, oh,
right.
I'm going to play that somewhere else. But it looks really cool. You know, like, it's
right.
Whatever. We'll talk about that more when we get there. Yeah. It was just, it's both cool, like, tech-wise, and I don't think either one of us feel a compelling reason that we need to go out and buy one, which is a bummer.
That's awful. And
that's what we were hoping for out of it, is that they show us impressive tech, which they did, and they sell us on it, which they didn't.
Right, which I want to buy one of these.
Yes.
Like, I want
to be sold.
I want to look at this thing and say, okay, we got, like, however much money... is in the Patreon, and all of it is going to Microsoft. That's what I wanted. Like, I didn't get it.
No.
And it's like, it makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Because, like, seriously, folks, this is some wicked tech.
Yeah.
Like, this is some wicked power.
Beastly thing.
I mean, for crying out loud, Duff, you'll love this. I know you're watching. Got freaking water cooling. Water cooling.
And it's tiny. It's smaller than any other Xbox. So I made the point that Xbox consoles are pretty big, so it's not saying a ton. But it's both the most powerful and smallest Xbox ever. It's liquid cooled. It has Dolby Atmos output, sound
right.
output. Like, who has Dolby Atmos in their house?
You love that. I love it. It's great. Yeah.
But who in the world has that in their house? Like, why do you need Atmos output? Whatever. It's cool. Like, the tech's phenomenal.
Chad would be able to tell us why we need it. Chad's like, here's why.
You guys don't have Atmos? What? That was my Chad impression. You're welcome, Chad. I hope you enjoyed that. I like breaking Jamie.
I love it because that was perfect. You're like, that was the best Chad impression ever. Thank you very much. Let's do more of that this week.
I don't know that I can do it again. I think it was a one-off. I'll try it. I'll drop it in some other time.
Because that was totally awesome, dude. That was great. We love you, Chad. We really do. But you, like, seriously, he was giving us crap about the last show that we did. He was texting both of us. Yeah, we're going to give you crap because you're like the gaming snob that listens to this show.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you're that guy that's like, what? You don't have a 4K TV in every room? How is that possible? So yeah, I love
good
that.
Times.
That's perfect.
Thanks for being the butt of our joke, Chad. We appreciate it. We love that guy. All right. So that happened. We had Xbox One X. We had Forza, and those are all cool. And then we saw Phil come out, who is a little chubby.
Yeah.
Which, look at us, if you're on Twitch right now, like, we're chubby, so I feel like we can make fun of Phil for being a little chubby. Phil Spencer came out and talked a lot, and I like Phil. I think I can speak for you when we say we're fans of Phil. He does a good job. He seems more authentic than a lot of the other talking heads that come out during these press conferences do, and so it was good to see Phil. He bragged about that they were going to have, I think it was 42 games that they were going to show off, 22 of which were exclusive.
Right.
They used exclusive pretty broadly.
Yeah. Because
a lot of stuff they were like, Xbox exclusive, were timed exclusives or exclusive content kind of things. And so
they said that, and they said world premiere a lot, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow, okay.
Yeah. Right. So, and then showed off a bunch of them, which was cool. This is a quantity and quality kind of thing that they showed us 40 games, a lot of them just like little snippets of and montages and that kind of stuff. They didn't spend a lot of time on 40 games, obviously. That would have taken a long time. But they showed us little montages of a bunch of them and spent some time on other ones. But quality-wise, there were only a few we picked out that we were like, oh, for sure. Like
there
that,
was like five.
Maybe. And of those five, probably two or three of them were indie titles or something, you know, or multi-platform titles that we know we're going to get somewhere else.
Right.
So, again, on being able to sell us. Thank you for bombarding us with games.
Right.
But bombard us with better games.
You know what I felt like? Back in the day, remember when we had a PlayStation 1? Remember how it came out and we had it and it was so cool because they had a ton of games.
Yeah.
And like 40% of them were crap, but you got a couple in there that were really, really, really freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like we're looking at the PlayStation 1 library that had like 8,000 games and there were like 40 of them that were really cool.
Yeah.
You know.
For sure. And that's not a great place to be. Like, for the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, I was okay with it.
Right.
But at this point, like, the sheer quality of games that are coming out
right now,
like, kind of filler and fluff stuff just isn't going to get you very far.
Well, and I said something to you. I think it's amazing that the stuff that comes out of our mouths during these conferences, and I don't really think it's going to matter, but I said something to you to the effect that it felt to me like they were stalling because they didn't have enough actual content. So they were like, here's some stuff because we don't have a lot of really, really awesome games to show you for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that happened yesterday during EA which we'll talk about that at some point. Yep. I don't know when the EA show is.
Tomorrow?
We're going to cover that at some point.
Sometime. Check GamingUncensored.com because that's what we're basing the schedule off of, too.
So that's kind of what I felt like with this. It's like there was a cool game, and then we're going to show you some stuff because we got to feel like 10 minutes. And then we're going to show you another cool game, and here's like 10 more minutes of stuff.
We're going to show you a cool game that's going to make like 10% of the audience really excited, and everybody else isn't going to understand any bit of what's going on.
Right.
That's what it felt like. Not even that they aren't necessarily cool games, because some of them look interesting, but like they're already established things that people know, but we don't. You know, like that this player unknown battleground thing. I have never heard of that. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's me slacking as a gamer.
Well, I got a guy at work that he has like two screens over there at his workstation. Armando, what's up, dude? I'm about to use you for an example. But he has like two screens over there at his workstation, and he constantly has live streams of games going on. I feel like that dude probably knows what they were talking about, but I'm like, okay, I don't get it. And he's always talking to me about, really successful YouTube-type people that I should know who they are. And I'm like, I don't know. That's kind of what I feel like here.
Yeah.
Like, the player unknown thing, I'm like, okay, is that a guy or... And we're probably...
Yeah, they brought out player unknown.
Yeah.
It's like, he's that dude. I know who he is. That guy right there. You know, like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand. And, like, people were cheering and excited about it. I'm just like, whatever.
And it's probably, like, one of those things, like, this may be the year that we kind of out ourselves as not being cool enough to host this show.
Right.
Like we've been doing E3 for 12 years, and this may be the year that people find out that we don't know enough about what's going on in gaming to actually be able to host the show, because there were a lot of moments during that press conference and even yesterday where I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, just felt kind of lost. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, okay, apparently people know what this is and I don't. Like, I'm not in on the joke. It's
And we breathe this stuff. I mean, this is what keeps us from going mental.
Yeah. But the gaming industry and the gaming communities in so many ways have become so niche that there's so many ways you can specialize. There's so many platforms at this point that they kind of have to appeal to that in some ways. And so, yeah, they go for the niche stuff. And it works.
Sort of.
For some people.
Right.
For other people, it doesn't. But here's an example of a game that I saw that I about fell over. We both geeked out over was a new Ori and the Blind Forest. It's Ori and the Tale of the, or the something of the Wisps, Whisper of the Wisps.
Right.
I don't know. We'll get to it in a little bit. It is up there on the Twitter feed. But that's a game that I legitimately am pumped about because I love Ori and the Blind Forest.
Avery and I are playing Ori and the Blind Forest.
It's a phenomenal
right
game.
Now.
Like, and it's probably about that same 10 to 20% of the audience or something like that geeked out over that one. That's just where they hit me. Like, all of a sudden, they got my sweet spot. Player Unknown isn't my sweet spot. It's just not, which isn't bad. It's just I don't know what it is. Like, it's a first-person shooter. I've got a lot of those in my life, you know? Like,
right.
Speaking of...
That's the thing is we have them. They're awesome, but we don't have time to play them.
Yeah. Like, you got to be on one of them or, you know, choose the ones you're going to play and... not what I'm going to choose to play, you know? Like, it's
right.
Nothing against them.
Right.
Just, they didn't sell me on it. They obviously were appealing to people who already knew what it was. It's like, this is a big deal that's going to be on Xbox. It's like, well, why is it a big deal? Like, I don't know what it
well,
is.
Well, and they were... That's the other thing, is they were talking about all of this stuff that's really epic about the new Xbox and how we're really trying to ramp things up, and I'm like, okay, guys, this is the stuff we hear every year. Can we not get a little more original? I mean, like, it means something when you say it and then you show us BioShock.
Yeah.
Or you say it and you show us Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Or you say it and you show us
Anthem.
Beyond Good and Evil.
They had one really solid game in here.
Right.
That's like big, and we still don't completely understand it. We'll talk about it more. But that's, they gave us one of those. That's still kind of a niche thing. Like, it's still, I'm not sure. We'll talk about it more. So I'll save that for a bit.
Chad's like, what?
So we'll cover some of the other titles. One was Metro Exodus.
Right.
Which looks pretty cool.
The trailer
for that was awesome.
I'm good with Metro. Like, I saw that and I'm thinking to myself, I have Metro 2033. I have some downloadable content that I've never touched. Something I bought on Steam on sale. I've never touched it. Saw that and I'm like, yep, need to play Metro. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we'll get that one. We saw a new Assassin's Creed. Big shocker there. It's E3. We get a new Assassin's Creed. But this one legit like feels like a new one in the franchise, not a kind of derivative, which the past several Assassin's Creeds have felt like. It's called Origins. It's set in ancient Egypt, which is awesome. Super cool. Ancient Egypt is a great setting for an Assassin's Creed game. It's pretty. It looked good. My standard for a pretty video game is so freaking high at this point.
Yes.
That, like, it didn't blow my socks off, you know? Like, right. I was like, it's nice. But, like, when you come out with, look at this powerhouse console we're about to give you, and then you show me that Assassin's Creed, I go, it's nice.
See,
I feel like that's not the reaction you're looking for.
And that's where they got themselves in trouble, because you bring out the tech, you say all the stuff about how cool it is, and if they're screwed either way, because if they had said all that and then opened with Anthem, our jaws would have been on the floor. And then for the next hour of the press conference, we would have been saying, well, can we get more Anthem, please?
Yeah.
And then they waited till the end, which they're trying to knock our socks off. And the only thing I could think of was, wow, that's great. What are we going to do with the other 40 of these games that are just sort of okay?
Yeah.
Because Anthem is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, Anthem is that game that's like,
that's the one that it made sense for them to show at the end.
Right.
It makes sense.
That's why I need to go buy an Xbox One X.
But you remember,
X.
Yeah, but it's not enough.
Right.
But you remember Sony last year, where it was just game after game after game that we were like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh
and
my
they
God.
Were all fantastic. We're like, we gotta play that.
Right.
We gotta play that.
There was God of War. There was Horizon. You know, like, it was just bang, bang, bang. And this was like, pew, 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 bang. You know, like, it just didn't have anything to it, any guts to it, any Xbox, Microsoft. This is something we're tangenting all over the place, but that's fine. This is something else that we observe.
That's what we do.
During the press conference, something else we observed is that a lot of what Microsoft was showing off was like family-friendly games. Like,
yeah.
There's like Lucky's Tale, which is on Oculus, but now it's going to be a non-VR game on the Xbox.
Right.
I don't know. That's a good enough platformer to stand up on its own as a not VR game. Like, I feel like it was kind of a gimmick to start with, but whatever. Like, it's kind of a kiddie game, which is cool. Ori and the Blind Forest is awesome, but it's not like an adult gritty game. It's a dark game, but it's not adult and gritty. We saw Cuphead again for the third year. Cuphead, we finally have a release date on Cuphead, thank goodness.
Well, we still don't know what the deal is with Cuphead.
Which one might be a lot more like adult than we realize, because it kind of has that vibe to it. But there were a lot. They showed off Minecraft, because they always show off Minecraft. There were a lot of games in there that were like, get your kids to play. And I think of Microsoft and Xbox as being the console for
gritty
grown-ups.
And gory, and here we go. We got blood and guts. And
it's Gears of War, and it's Halo,
right.
And it's chainsaws and guns.
Hey,
and
I smell pizza. Sorry.
Yeah. Now we got to hurry up because there's food in the house.
Yeah.
But that's what Microsoft is supposed to be to me. The Xbox has always been like the macho gaming machine, and they aren't doing that full on anymore. There's still zombies. We saw Metro. We saw, what was the game with the zombies? It's a big game that's out. I just can't
think of it. Zombies.
Whatever it is. State of Decay.
Right.
State of Decay.
State of Decay 2 is what they were showing.
Yeah. Which is cool. Assassin's Creed is all. Like, there were still those things in there. But like, just yeah, there was a lot of stuff in there that didn't feel that way. There was a lot of stuff in there that was stylized and cartoony when they just showed off this powerhouse kind of. No, right. We keep coming back to that.
Which,
but they were like, look at this thing, and here's all the games that you can play on the Switch.
Let's back up for a second. I think that's the problem. We love the Switch, okay? It's here. I cannot wait to plug it into my TV and play Zelda. Yeah. I can't, like, I'm so excited. We love the Switch and all of the things that it does and all of the things that it's going to do. I don't want to see that on my Xbox.
Right.
Like, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't. This
like,
is,
we're so snobby.
This is
but
like,
for crying out loud.
This is like, they did this as if they were the only console on the market, and they were the ones that were bringing all of the games, and yeah, it's $500. And if this was 1995, and we saw this, and they were the only console on the market, we'd be like, yeah, throw our money down, that's awesome. But they're not. There's like four other people on the market. Well, two other people on the
right.
market.
But you got PCs too, right. And you've got mobile devices, and there's right. a lot of other places people can go
I mean,
play
I mean,
games.
Like, you understand what I'm saying, though? Like, if
yeah,
this,
absolutely.
If this was back in the day, and they were Nintendo back in the day, and
yeah.
they threw this stuff at us, or okay, Sega's a great example, because back in the day, it was Nintendo and Sega. If we had seen this back in the day, we would awesome. Take our money. Here.
Sure.
Here's our money. Now we have so many other options.
Yeah. Like, and our standards are so much higher.
Right.
Our time is so much less that we could only play the best of the best.
Which, by the way, can we talk about Chad again? Because we talked about Chad and the way he does his game thing. I still don't understand that. Because
apparently you have to have kids. That's his thing.
It's not that, because we have a 13-year-old coming in like 2 minutes. And she's going to be beating on the door.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to figure out, like, how are we going to handle that? Because we're doing podcasting and adult stuff, and we got adult beverages and
right.
stuff. And, like, I don't want so we still don't know what planet that Chad lives on.
Yeah.
He
lives at the planet of, hey, kids, go do your thing. And then he goes, plays video games.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like,
yeah.
More power to you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You can't do that when the kids are really little, but there's kind of that sweet spot where they can kind of entertain themselves. You
right.
go, awesome. Y'all have fun. I'll have fun. And then kids go to sleep early.
Right.
So then you have some time for
right.
kids. Like, I get it. Like, but I don't do anything with my life, and I don't play nearly as much games as Chad does.
Right.
So.
Like, that's the thing.
God bless him.
It's a time thing.
Yeah. So.
And we
don't have
we
it.
We don't have it.
Which is sad, but. It is where we are. So anyway, they showed a lot of indie titles or indie-esque titles because there's a lot of those out there now, which is great because I love those type of games.
Right.
Two that really stood out that we know very little about that I'm hoping we see more of during E3 week. One is The Last Knight. Stylistically,
oh wow,
this is the coolest game I've seen so far at E3, which granted just started, but I already imagine that just from a stylistic standpoint it's going to be the coolest looking game at E3. It's this weird kind of hybrid 2D 3D game that both looks really modern and pixelated, like it's this pixelated character but kind of modern 3D stylized graphic. I don't know how to
right.
describe it. Go find a video of it. There may be video on the Twitter. I don't know if I ever tweeted a video of that. But go find video of it somewhere. It's called The Last Knight. It looks really cool. I don't know what the gameplay is. I hope the gameplay is cool. But just the vibe of the game is awesome.
Yeah.
Then there was The Artful Escape, which also looks super cool. Don't know anything about it. Also very stylized indie kind of thing.
Right.
My favorite part of it was at the end, down at the bottom, it said, coming when it's darn ready, which just cracked me up. Like,
somebody knows the world that they're going
yeah,
into.
Yeah, we're
going
to put this game out when we're done with this game. It's like, awesome, more power to you. I love it. So, yeah, those look cool. But again, aren't like why I have to go buy an Xbox One X. I'm not sure if those are multi-platform games. I'm hoping they are.
Right.
Either I'm going to play them on a different platform, or I'm probably not going to play them. You know?
Or I'm going to play them on PC. Which
exactly. That would be a different
I'm
platform.
I'm still hoping we got, you know, cross-platform
I do too.
Stuff. Like, what happened to that? That
they
was
did.
A big
on,
deal.
On a lot of the games, they had exclusive to Xbox and Windows 10, and so a lot of them were. it was just hard to keep up with because they were kind of shotgunning all these games all over the place.
Right.
And so, whatever. We saw a really long demo of Sea of Thieves. We saw Sea of Thieves last year, which is rare. It's pirates.
It's cool.
It's not something I'm super pumped about.
Like, we'll play it. Like, I'm totally going to
It would be fun. Like, just you and I, like, let's go be pirates, you know? And, like, just being stupid. Yeah. The coolest part was at the end, like, the dude got in a cannon and shot himself out of the cannon onto the deck of the boat that they were fighting against. And then, like, starts knifing people on the deck.
Right.
Like, that's cool. Like, I'd do that for 20 minutes, you know? Like, but I don't know if it's a game that has enough depth to really capture you. It feels like a party game experience.
Again,
with a little depth.
You were talking about niche earlier. New Pirates of the Caribbean out. People love Pirates of the Caribbean. I really enjoy them. But there are people that are way into this pirate thing. I think the king pirate is probably Mike Leach at this point. But like there are people way into the pirate thing. So there's people that probably love this. I just feel bad that I feel like I'm supposed to be really hyped.
Yeah.
After what I saw, and I'm just not.
Yeah. We saw a new Crackdown, Crackdown 3, which we knew was coming. We saw a little bit of it last year. Terry Crews, interestingly enough, big Old Spice commercial, Terry Crews. By the way, I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Have you ever watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I have not. Should I?
It's a really good show. Like, I was really skeptical about it, not being my type of humor.
Right.
But it totally ended up being my type of humor. It's really funny. It's, Terry Crews is one of the main
characters. Well, if you say
that,
it's funny, then I got to check it out.
If you like, because the Sexy Sidekick and I love The Office, love Parks and Rec. And
you know, I love those.
Yeah.
Those are
There's
good.
So many characters that cross over onto Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And yeah, it's a good show. Terry Crews is on there. That's the only tie-in I have. Terry Crews shows off Crackdown 3 with this little, you know, commercial kind of thing, which
I can't blame for him to take his shirt off. Like,
right.
Seriously.
But the Old Spice commercial where he's like the one-man band, but he's triggering everything with his muscles. It's just phenomenal. Just great. So. I'm not super pumped about Crackdown. I know a lot of people are. There's a lot of people that are into Crackdown.
Do you remember when we went to Philly, the year we went to Philly, and hung out with the Talkie guys?
Sure, sure.
They were really pumped about Crackdown. We had we played the Wii, but the other thing they really enjoyed was Crackdown. Mike and Clay really dug that and spent time with it. That's one of those, again, you said very niche. People are way into it or they don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
So
I played it. It was fun. If I remember correctly, I think I actually played Crackdown once with Derek, the drunk dude.
Oh!
Like on Xbox Live years and years ago. Like,
Derek, what's that? Are you still alive, man?
Randomly.
Where are you? It's
E3. Yeah,
where are you?
We were talking about you the other day, Derek. So
yeah.
If you're around, say hi to us because we'd like to hear from you.
We miss you, dude.
We do. We need some Derek-ness for our E3. So. We also saw new Life is Strange. Life is Strange is phenomenal. And if you're a PlayStation Plus member, in the Microsoft show, I'm going to tell you to go to PlayStation Plus. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, you can go download Life is Strange for free right now. It's one of the games of the month. And so if you want to play it, go play it on the PlayStation and then maybe pick it up on the Xbox or wherever. It's a phenomenal game that the Don't Nod is doing the 3-episode follow-up to the original, which looks super cool. And so that's awesome. Again, it's kind of a niche thing, but it was a cult success. And so I think a lot of people
are really
pumped.
I'm all about that. For those of you that are on the Patreon and everybody else eventually, but I had to finish The Walking Dead. We got 2 episodes of The Walking Dead. Batman is done. I just haven't released that episode yet. But I got to finish The Walking Dead, and then Life is Strange is next. And I'm really excited about that because that's one thing that I love about Patreon is when I'm playing these games for you guys, this is the first time I've ever seen them, ever played them. I don't fire them up beforehand. Probably should because there's a lot of time on Batman where I'm like clicking around trying to figure stuff out, and I really suck sometimes. But Life is Strange is on the list. And seeing this just made me happy because that means there's more coming.
Yeah.
So that's good.
It is good, and that's exciting, and it looks good. We saw Shadow of War, which is the follow-up to Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, which they didn't really make that clear. You got it, but I was like, wait, what is this?
Yeah, it's Lord of the Rings. The Shadow of Mordor is really fun. It's not a super deep game, but it was really, it's just kill orcs, and that's fun. And this looks like more killing orcs or recruiting them. That was a big part of Shadow of Mordor, is you went to all these little encampments, and you recruited the boss out of all of them and then made this orc army or whatever. It's a lot more of the same, it looks like. But that's okay. It was a good formula. It was fun, and so it's really pretty. And so,
it's like, hey, if you want to go and turn your brain off for a couple hours, this is what
hack
you
and
do,
slash so. And kill some orcs. I'll take it. So there were a lot more games in there. We're not going to cover them all because there were 40-some of them, and a lot of them weren't that interesting. And so we'll finish with Anthem. Anthem was the big thing. It's a BioWare RPG. We knew it was coming at E3. Codenamed Dylan before now. I don't know why.
Okay.
It's close to Anthem. Whatever. We saw a little teaser of it yesterday in EA's press conference. They promised us more in Microsoft, and sure enough, we got more in Microsoft. And so BioWare RPG that I think for both of us when we were looking at it made us very much think of Destiny.
Right.
Like, it looks like that big, massive world co-op
and
RPG
again,
thing.
Again, Chad's like, awesome Destiny.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, okay. What I kept thinking is, where's the single player?
Yeah, that's our big question with it. And I'm hoping we'll see more of this as well, because it was by far the best looking game that Microsoft had.
Like, it's the reason to buy an Xbox One X at this point. Like, right. I saw it and I'm like, okay. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted for the last hour is that.
Yeah. It's darn pretty. It looks really cool. It's mechs and...
We have video. Should we pull that up?
Okay. A mess. We will at some point. By the way, we will be posting more video content for Patreon subscribers. We'll talk about that more here in a little bit. But follow us on Patreon and go support us there, and you'll be getting some video content with us and talking through some of these games as well that way, which will be fun. But so it was. It's mechs. It's like Iron Man suits, suits that make you have a jetpack and fly around and superpowers and all that kind of stuff.
Tony Stark would be like, "That's cool. I'm buying it."
A big open world, and the open world is beautiful. And like, there was a part where you were following this chick as she was flying through, and she was flying through this valley, and then she like dove into the water, and there's this all underwater system too that she could go explore.
Right.
It seems like a big, cool open world. I don't know. There was a quest at the very beginning. They showed kind of this little video clip at the beginning, and then they go on their way in the suits. There was a quest, but it's like a go-gather quest, and so it feels like, at this point, knowing very little about it, that it's going to be a go, like, catch and fetch with your three or four best friends, that, like, it's super pretty and it's fun to mow guys down.
Which we don't have any friends.
Right.
So that's, like, that's kind of depressing, because, like, we got each other.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Sad day. Aww.
Yeah.
But it's admittedly not our thing necessarily. I played Destiny a little bit, but like, we love single player experiences, and we've talked about that a ton. If you've listened to the show for a while, you know that. And I want to see Anthem have a really cool single player experience. If it doesn't, like, I'm going to try it because it's pretty and I want to play with it, but I don't know that it's going to capture me, you know?
And Anthem was that game that's like, and somebody else brought it up, that they mentioned that the Xbox One X was water-cooled. Like, Anthem was that game that I felt like, okay, this is really cool, but is it going to make your Xbox One X catch fire?
Right.
Like, is it like when she dove in the water?
Microsoft, which has a history of cooling problems on their consoles.
Right.
Like, this tight little box, even if it's water cooled, kind of worries me. Watching a game like this, like you're saying. Yeah.
She dove into the water, and I was like, oh, okay, they're going to cut something else. And there's this whole environment when she dives in, I'm like, ooh, that's awesome! I just felt like something just caught fire and my house is gonna blow up.
Yeah.
And I have a water cooled rig, so I know a little bit about what I'm saying. You built the water cooled rig, and so
it's cool.
Yeah.
I love it. But yeah, it's a weird thing. All that being said, Anthem looks really cool and it's really pretty, and I hope it's really fun to play. I don't I don't know that it's going to be something that necessarily captures me. I do know it's not enough to convince me to buy an Xbox One X.
Right.
And that's a bummer.
Can I just say, if somebody wants to give us one, we'll
take it. Oh,
sure,
we'll take it.
Yeah.
We're not going to argue. Yeah. But yeah, like, I wanted them to sell me on it. I don't know what Sony's going to bring. I have a feeling that Sony's going to reaffirm our belief that the PlayStation 4 is the console for us to have, us who are single-player gamers. Like, that's the console to have if those are the games you like. Almost everything Microsoft showed had a multiplayer component to it. What big single-player, Metro, single-player, right? Ori and the Blind Forest, single-player.
Right.
Even though it showed other little guys around there, maybe it has some multiplayer component to it. But I think of so much of the other stuff is like these big online games, MOBA style, big battlegrounds.
That's fine.
And people love those. They're a huge deal in gaming right now. They're just not our deal. And so we kind of poo-poo on them because it's not our thing. We get that a lot of people like them, but they're still not our thing.
Right.
They're just not going to be. And so, yeah. Microsoft didn't convince me to go buy an Xbox One. And that's that.
That it really is sad because I want to buy one.
I know, I do too.
I saw
that's
something.
Such cool tech.
We talked about, how I might buy one for a media box on the last show. You want to know, I'm going to chase a rabbit for just a second. You want to know something I saw the other day that kind of blew my mind? Dish has a... has a DVR with Alexa in it.
Interesting.
Right? Like, they're showing the commercials now. They have a Hopper with Alexa in it. And I'm like, I bet that works better than the Xbox ever did. Because I've been showing this off to you. I have Alexa in my house. And I've said her name enough times that she's going to answer me in a minute. but I have her in my house. And I've gotten used to it. Like, I put something on my calendar just by talking. And somebody's probably having a heart attack because every time I say the name, theirs comes on as well. But I've gotten used to it. And I really want to, back to the Xbox One X, I really want to buy this thing, and I want to jump into everything that they're selling because I love tech, but you got to give me more to play with.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you've got to give us something to do with the awesome tech, and we just haven't seen it enough. So, good job, Microsoft, on showing off a bunch of games. Show us some better games. I think that's our kind of summation of it. And my goodness, wait till that price point comes down for the Xbox One.
Oh, wow. Woo-wee. Somebody send us an email or something and let us know if you can actually afford that.
Yeah.
Because
Chad will buy it.
Yeah, Chad will totally buy it. Yeah, I know what Chad will do. Chad's going to send me a text a little bit, and he's like, yeah, I'll just trade my crap. Why don't you trade your crap? I got crap to trade. I go to GameStop and trade crap. Well, I don't have that much crap. Yeah. You know, I just don't.
Yeah.
And I don't have, maybe for the first time in my life, for the first time in a few years, I don't have a lot of expendable income right now. Like, I'm really tight right now. So when you bring something out that's cool like that, that's got all this good tech possibilities, and then you show me some iffy games, and then you tell me it's $500, I'm like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, like, yep. I'm going to have to wait like 3 years because I ain't buying that.
Yeah. And are you going to give us a new console in 3 years? Yeah. Bunch of questions. We'll see what happens. I'm intrigued by it, but I'm not sold on it. So.
Can we make fun of the Xbox backwards compatibility?
Oh, I forgot all about that. Yeah, we skipped right through that.
We got to make fun of that.
Yeah, so Phil announced that they're going to bring backwards compatibility, legacy games, really more so than backwards compatibility, from the original Xbox to the Xbox One, now which we already have Xbox 360 games available on the Xbox One. I want to say they said like half the Xbox 360 library is available. Now they're going to bring back a lot of Xbox games, which is cool, and there was a few Xbox games that were solid. The one that they talked about was Crimson Skies, which doesn't do anything for me. Maybe apparently is a big fan favorite. Not my thing, and so
here's the thing.
Yeah,
the backwards compatibility only matters to me if I can play games that I've already bought. Like,
sure,
the way that backwards compatibility works now is, hey, we're going to give you these classic games, and all you have to do is buy them again.
Yeah.
Like, pick them up on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network. I mean, it's not just Microsoft. Sony's doing it, too.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll sell you all our classic games that you've already bought twice.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's not backwards compatibility. That's jabbing me for 20 more bucks. That's what that is.
Right. But, I mean, you don't have any original Xbox games, and so... You don't have them in the first place.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is I would be a lot more hyped. Like, for example, what do I have up there on the shelf? Like, right there. You see that thing right there? I got a PlayStation 2.
Right.
I got all of those games somewhere.
Sure.
Okay, if somebody pops right. up and
I get what you're saying.
Oh,
it's not very practical at this point.
Right, I get that. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, from an excitement standpoint, you and I used to harp on backwards compatibility.
Right.
Because we had all these games.
Right.
We're not harping on it anymore because we figured out that backwards compatibility means you want more of our money. So
I disagree with that. I don't harp on backwards compatibility anymore because I don't really want to go back and play games that much.
Well, okay, yeah. Okay,
you know, like, I mean, honestly, there's so many good games that are coming out. The games that I'm nostalgic for that I want to play again are way back are Super Nintendo games.
Right.
I can't tell you. Like, I would love to play a remastered version of the original Halo.
Right.
I don't want to play the original Halo.
Right.
You know, like, with what 3D games look like now, original Halo is hideous.
And
you
see,
know?
That's what I'm begging for, is a remaster of all the Halo games.
Sure.
And or give me that.
But that's where going back to kind of legacy games at this point makes me more excited. Although, Phil said that something like half of Xbox One owners have played a backwards compatible game or an Xbox 360 game on it. I don't know if I buy that stat, but even if it's anywhere close to there, that's impressive.
Right.
But I just don't have that time. Like, I just don't care about back. At one point, we did, because, like you said, we had this big library of games that we wanted to be able to go back and play, but then we never went back and played them. Like, I did on the PlayStation 2. I played PlayStation 1 games on my PlayStation 2. I've never gone back to old games really since then, because the progression of games at this point is just getting so much better and better and better that I don't want to go back.
Right.
So, I don't know. It was a big deal at the press conference, and we both were kind of like, okay, you're showing us the Xbox One X and then giving us original Xbox games.
Yeah.
They look better. Well, yeah, but they're still blocky as whatever, you know? Like, they're still a mess. Like,
right.
Whatever. So, anyway, it's a thing, and they're doing it, and good for them, I suppose, and I don't have any desire to go back and play any Xbox games.
You know, this is why we will never be invited anywhere.
That's fair.
Because we're just curmudgeons.
We are like, curmudgeons, but it's fun. We enjoy
like,
it.
Like, I'm hoping that we can be curmudgeonly enough that Microsoft's like, hey, guys, we realize you kind of think we suck. Come hang out with us. Let us show you why we don't suck.
Yeah.
Which, if you do that, that'd be awesome. We're totally down for that.
We would totally go
for that. And it's not just Microsoft.
Yeah.
EA had the same kind of problem. I'm hoping Sony doesn't have. But we've been talking about Nintendo for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Nintendo's like, don't care. We're just going to show you some crap.
We'll see what happens.
So it's not just Microsoft. It's like Sony has consistently blown us away for a couple of years now. Based on what we've seen so far, I'm a little worried. Like, I'm like...
Yeah. But the thing is, there's so many good games out.
Right.
And we know there's good games coming, even if we haven't been blown away yet by stuff.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
A few things I'll mention from Duff and Logan hanging out in our Twitch chat, which is a good time. They've been talking a little bit about Titanfall 2, which, by the way, is a game we need to play.
Yes.
It's apparently phenomenal and
great.
Can
we mention why we haven't played Titanfall 2? Oh, I don't know why you haven't played it.
Why haven't you played Titanfall 2?
Well, you have
gameplay.
I haven't played Titanfall 2 for the exact... Okay. I installed Origin on my machine yesterday because you and I were talking during the EA conference. Like, I really need to pick that up. So I installed it yesterday. And I opened it up and they're like, big sale! 75% off some games. And I look and all the good ones are like $30.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not a sale.
Yeah.
Like, a sale is you open up something and a game that you've been waiting on is like $10.
Yeah.
Like, or $5. I mean, I've gotten a ton of games on Steam that are awesome games for like $5.
Sure, but not games that are as recent as Titanfall 2.
Well, but I mean, I'd pay $10-$15 for
it's not
Titanfall.
Gonna be even on Steam, it won't be $10 or $15 for a while still.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Their sales
don't compare to Steam
sales.
But that's an unfair standard because nobody's sales compared to Steam
sales.
Well,
but they could.
They could. But the thing with the Steam sales is all the good games that are really heavily discounted or have been out for a long time. Not a long time, but quite a while, except for the rare occasional one. But on a Steam sale, a game that's been out for a year gets a 20% bump and it's still $40 or whatever. You know, like it happens the same way on Steam. It's just... they have such a massive library that you get the good games on there deeper into their life cycle for really cheap, which is nice. Origin doesn't do that. What's the UB one? Uplay or whatever
doesn't
do that. Yeah. They don't compare to the Steam sales. We love Steam. Steam sales are awesome. But Titanfall, like, seems like a game worth paying for. And the single player is supposedly amazing.
And I totally would, except I don't have any money.
Right.
that's
totally rational and fair.
I know I need to play it. Duff's been telling me for months and months, almost a year, gotta play Titanfall 2. Well, great. I don't have any money.
Right.
It's you know, and on top of that, Duff's got me a lot of cool stuff and Duff got me playing that stuff.
Yeah, that's the other thing, we just have so many games to play, which is great. So but anyway, that's awesome. Also, Duff mentioned that apparently the Person Unknown Battleground is a very, very big deal on like pro Twitch gamers, like big competitive gaming stuff. Like, in that world, it's a big deal, which is cool. Apparently, it's fun to watch on Twitch, and so cool. We'll have to check it out.
And again,
but I literally had never heard of it.
Right.
Thanks for opening up New Horizons, Microsoft. That's great. But I just hadn't a clue what it was.
Right.
Any other final thoughts on Microsoft?
I hope we see something the rest of the week that's cool.
Yeah. We've got Bethesda tonight. And there's potentially some really cool stuff we could get from Bethesda.
Which, by the way, I hope that show is really late.
It's really late.
So I hope.
It starts at 11 p.m.
Hope there's some really cool stuff.
We might fall asleep during it.
That's right. Because we've been drinking today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time to go to bed.
We're going to have to eat a lot of pizza, which is here.
And that's going to just make us more sleepy.
Yeah.
But we'll see that tonight. And then tomorrow we've got potentially fun ones. We've got Ubi. We've got Sony. We'll see what happens with those. And so
for Microsoft, I just hope that I miss something. Like I hope that I see something throughout the week, like some stage demos or something of a game that they showed that I went, that just makes me go, okay, yeah, I was wrong. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, but...
Anthem's the one right now that I need to see a stage demo for.
Right.
I need to see devs sitting down with guys talking through that thing.
And explaining, like, what are we doing here? Are we doing Destiny 2.0?
Right.
Because this is BioWare. We talked about great single-player experiences. That's what BioWare done for a long time. So if Anthem has that, And we just didn't see it because everybody else on the planet except us is into the massively multiplayer stuff. I'm cool with that. But I was kind of hoping in the press conference today to see that Mass Effect style reveal. Like, here's the story. Here's what's going on. Here's all the stuff you need to know. We didn't get that.
No. It was a co-op reveal.
Right. And it was like the way I felt was when UB showed off the Division years ago. That's exactly how they did it. Well, co-op, and it's in this world, and it's awesome. And
yeah.
And we were way into the environment and want to know more and all of that. But that I've never really seen anything about the Division story or the world or any of that that has really grabbed me. It's been out for a while. I feel like Anthem's going to be the same way.
Yeah. It could be. We'll see if it gets there. By the way, the Division ended up being so-so.
Right.
So, I don't know if that's hugely encouraging.
No, it's but not.
We'll see what happens. So, anyway, that was the Microsoft show. So, thank you guys for hanging out with us.
Can we just mention before we wrap up that we're not haters? We're not. We want these guys to be good because somebody
mentioned that. That's fair. And mentioned that we realize that we're not the target audience right now for Microsoft.
Right.
They're wanting to get Chad, who I think is more their target audience than we are.
Boy, Chad's going to yell at us after this show. Well, he always yells at us.
If my impression of him didn't get him to yell at us, I'd be disappointed.
That was really awesome, dude. We got to pull that out of the show. We got to use that again because that was sweet. But you're right. Chad may be the target audience.
Which is cool. There's nothing wrong with that. We love Chad, and Chad loves video games, and that's awesome. But it's just it's not hitting our sweet spot, and it felt like a little bit of a downer, presentation wise overall everything. So, not bad, just meh.
No, just meh.
Yeah,
yeah.
And meh's not what you want at E3. So, all that being said, ways that you can get a hold of us: go by the website gamingcensored.com. There's the E4 tab there that has all of the schedule stuff for the week. If you want to hang out with us in Twitch. Super fun to have Logan Duff here hanging out with us. We could interact with them some, too. Do that. Also, on GamingUncensored.com is a link to the Patreon, where we're going to be posting some video content and other stuff. So support us on Patreon. You're going to get some good content there. We're committed to giving y'all some fun content this week.
And when you see this command center that Tommy has set up, you will understand that when we say committed, we mean committed.
It's crazy. It's phenomenal.
It's nutty.
It's nutty. Nutty is a good way to put it. So yeah, we'll post a picture of that. Twitter, by the way, we'll post a picture of it to Twitter. So go over to Twitter, check it out at @podcastgu. Follow us on Twitter. We'll be live tweeting all the conferences.
We hope we don't get locked out again.
We don't get locked out if we just suddenly stop tweeting in the middle of a conference. We probably got locked out again, which has been a fun time. So, what else? Facebook. We got a Facebook page.
Yes.
Go like the Facebook page. Follow us on Facebook. We'll be chatting there during the week. Also, the email address, if you're still old school and like email, we do that still. GamingUncensored@gmail.com.
GamingUncensored@gmail.com. And we have the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210, which we've got this cool logo and banner on the Twitch stream. That has the website, the phone number, the Twitter, and the email.
That's cool.
Right? I don't know if you were just looking at it that you would realize that 509-GAME-210 is a phone number, but it is. That's our voicemail line. 3-minute limit on that, but call it back and keep on talking. We'll put it together. We'd love to hear from you guys during E3, and we'll drop those in where we can. And so if you want to call the voicemail line, you can do that. Tons of ways to get in touch with us. We just want to hang out this week and talk about video games because E3 is awesome.
And we have pizza.
We
have lots of people. We have lots of pizza. I'm really excited because, that's the other thing that we do really well is eat. So, all of that's coming up. We're excited you guys are here. We're excited to be here. This is our favorite time of year. We hope you enjoy it as well. For right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and this is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2017. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out.